At the Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, we're going to talk to Hannah Thompson with the Animal Agriculture Alliance. You're based in Washington, D.C., right, Hannah?
We're based in Arlington, Virginia, so right across the river from D.C.
Right. And so let's talk about a couple of the election results from yesterday that maybe folks haven't heard as much about. Oklahoma's Right to Farm initiative, which went down to defeat, and also the animal welfare, animal rights initiative in Massachusetts, which was passed. And in both of those cases, the Humane Society of the United States was a major player, right?
Absolutely. HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, for many years they've used legislative campaigns in states across the country to try to pass their agenda, which of course is not about animal welfare, it's not about animals are cared for, it's about animal rights. So viewing animals with the same lens that we view people, and that would mean not eating them or not using them for human gain at any point in any way, which would include eating them. So really they don't want to see animal agriculture be in business, and everything they do is with that end goal in mind. So they have been very active over the past decade in especially ballot initiatives. So states that allow groups to work to get initiatives on the ballot that voters cast their votes on, they're very active in that. Of course, Prop 2 in California is really the big example. And just the general consumer is not informed on these issues. They don't know a lot about it. And a lot of times on the ballot, it's deduced into just a couple keywords that no one really knows and really looks beyond what it says on the piece of paper. So Massachusetts, for example, is really newsworthy and one to watch because it restricts certain housing methods, which they consider to be cruel, and that would be cages for laying hens, gestation stalls for pigs, and then individual housing for veal calves. And not only does that initiative apply to farms in the state of Massachusetts, which there aren't any, there's really one farm that's impacted, it applies to anything sold in the state. So that's really the gotcha. That's what they're trying to do, is really force that choice on the consumers in Massachusetts. And unfortunately, they were successful. The measure did pass. Our thought process would be that most people didn't know a lot about it. Really, what led the news, there was another issue on the ballot about legalizing marijuana, and that got a lot more coverage than really the animal care issue that was on the ballot. And there was a group that formed there that really tried to get the message out about food costs. And there's an anti-poverty advocate named Diane Sullivan who got involved and really lent her voice to explain that this measure really isn't improving welfare for animals. There's a lot of studies that have gone into designing housing systems, and just mandating a certain amount of space is not a be-all end-all for animal care. There's a lot of other things that need to be taken into consideration. Diane's message was that, you know, we're increasing costs for people without there really being a benefit for animals. And obviously that's a big concern, and we're eliminating the choice that 90% of people are making. So we're going to watch that one, and we're going to see what the fallout is. We anticipate food costs will increase, and people probably didn't realize that that's what they were voting for.
Do you expect more ramifications from that, the fact that they were successful there? Are they going to try to go to some of these other non-agricultural states?
That is, of course, the MO. It's finding states where there isn't a large ag population, where a lot of the population and even state legislators and officials don't know a lot about agriculture. So that's why they went somewhere like Massachusetts. It's why they picked somewhere that doesn't have a lot of farms, so that people don't know what they're hearing, and there isn't even really a lot of voices there to give that counter perspective. So we absolutely see that they will continue these ballot initiative campaigns, and that this could have ramifications because, again, it doesn't just to apply to farms in the state, which has been their motive in the past. It is any product sold. So it would have ramifications for any retailer that sells products that they didn't kind of do their due diligence to know how those animals were housed. So the Retailers Association was involved in this as well from that perspective. So we absolutely think it's something that is going to happen moving forward. So it should really be a motivation for agriculture that now is the time to get out there, to connect with legislators, influencers. Obviously, our goal is the end consumer, and really share that message about affordable food and about the practices that we use and why. Really share that why message, and really the best inoculant against this misinformation is the truth and is information. So the more transparent we can be will hopefully help us when these issues arise in the future. In the Massachusetts campaign, it's really interesting to look at the spending disparity on either side. Of course, the animal agriculture industry is kind of gun shy, I think, in dealing with these kind of campaigns because it's happened before and it takes a lot out of them. And then also, you know, they're trying to be responsible with their funds. So if you look at the two sides of the campaign, the supporting side, which was, you know, HSUS, had over $2 million, and 90% of that came from HSUS, who is not based in Massachusetts. They're based right outside of DC. So there was this very large out-of-state interest really pushing for this initiative. It was not a grassroots campaign. It was not something citizens came up with. It was HSUS coming into town and spending a lot of money to get it passed, compared to the opposition campaign, which had a fraction of that budget at about $300,000. So I think that's another lesson in animal agriculture, that we need to support the opposition to these things that HSUS is trying to push, because a lot of times they're able to be successful because they've just got us out-resourced. So if we can allocate resources or support in any way that we can, it's going to be important to us, because when they have that much of a budget disparity, it's really an uphill climb.
Was the Massachusetts initiative different from Proposition 2 in California as far as the impact? I mean, California was going to restrict products coming in the state too, right?
Right. And the Massachusetts initiative was a little bit more far-reaching in the different species that it impacted. But we do think it will have a similar impact as far as raising the price. And we do think it'll ultimately be challenged the way California's was of, you know, is this fair to take one state's ballot initiative and have that impact farms that are in other states that didn't vote for that measure? So we do think it will be challenged. We do think it will have some unintended consequences, and we'll see if there's buyer's remorse on behalf of the voters of Massachusetts.
Right to Farm in Oklahoma, of course, it wasn't just livestock related, but that's a tough defeat after what North Dakota and Missouri were both able to pass Right to Farm. So this is the first time that HSUS and their cronies have really been able to step in and prevent something like that.
It is a concern to see the Oklahoma measure fail, and it did fail by a considerable margin. So that really will probably make other states shy away from looking at these constitutional amendments. They were successful in North Dakota and Missouri, which made some hope for the industry, but unfortunately this one was not, and part of that is because of HSUS spending and getting involved in the discussion of that amendment. So, you know, the whole intention behind it is just to recognize the importance of farmers and ranchers to our national security, to our economy, obviously to our food supply, and really give them another layer of protection from all of the threats that they face, which is just endless with these activist groups. Obviously, that's why HSUS wanted to see it fail, because it gives the farmers and ranchers a bit more protection from their tactics. So it really is unfortunate, and we do think it might make other states a little hesitant to consider other measures in the future. But we'll, again, just continue to see where that goes and have discussions about why it's important that farmers and ranchers do have some protections from these activist groups who have one goal in mind, and it's not animal welfare, it's ending the industry.
We recently had the announcements by Compass Group and Aramark on broiler chickens, which to me, I mean, that was a big announcement, because correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of the first time they've moved into that's a different species.
Yes, they always bounce around from species to species because that's how they fundraise. They want to pick a certain issue. They want to target a different industry, and that's how they can get media coverage, get donations, and really just pick industries apart individually. So a couple years ago, the big issue was the pork industry and gestation stalls. After that, they moved into eggs and cages for laying hens. So they very vocally, once they felt like the cage-free egg war was won, when brands like McDonald's got on board and was kind of the tipping point, they very vocally have said that broilers are their target. We send representatives each year to the Animal Rights National Conferences, and at those events, they said very vocally and very clearly that the broiler industry is their next target. So we knew this was coming. The National Chicken Council very proactively worked to put together a great site. It's called Chicken Check-In. So that gives a very transparent view of the poultry industry, of the modern broiler industry, which a lot of people don't know about because it is very geographically concentrated in certain parts of the country. So that is an excellent excellent resource to learn about the industry and how it works. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that information, which is why HSUS and the other activist groups as well have set their sights on broilers, starting with growth rates and things like enrichments. HSUS has had a relationship with Compass Group for a long time, so their announcement isn't really a surprise. And Aramark has had to deal with a very public campaign by a group called the Humane League. They did a similar campaign for cage-free eggs before, where they target universities that use these food service providers. And they go to the universities and their university presidents, and a lot of times they're private universities, and they say, if you don't go to Aramark and tell them to make these changes, we're going to launch a full-scale campaign. We're going to go to your donors. We're going to go to your public where you are. We're going to tell your students that you support cruelty. Of course, any measure of animal agriculture is going to be cruel in their eyes because they just don't support it. So that's, you know, we understand the very tough position that these companies are in when they are having to deal with these very radical activist groups that make threats and try to harm their reputation.
The fact that they are going to dictate genetics, that's a kind of a step that we haven't seen before, right?
They are really targeting the breeds of chickens. So, of course, the breeds of chickens typically used, comparison I always hear is that they are kind of like Olympians. They have been bred over, you know, many generations, that they are the perfect breed for what we've always used them for, which is very quickly and efficiently producing a protein source. Of course, chicken is usually a very affordable protein source because of the volume that we're able to produce very efficiently. So that is why we use those breeds today. So again, that's what their whole end game is. It's attacking that efficiency, and they want to drive cost up, which will drive demand down, force producers out of business, and force consumers to make some really tough choices at the grocery store. So that is what all these campaigns are about. It's about attacking efficient modern practices to put other ones in their place that will cost more, be burdensome for producers, and force consumers to not be able to afford to purchase animal products.